Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up to the minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bock.
Hey everyone, what's going on? Dan Bock here with another edition here, the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. We're presented to you by our friends at FanDuel. Make sure you check them out here today if you haven't done so. You got some MLB contests in the lobby. Of course, the $5 million World Fantasy Football Championship happening out in LA. They've got, what I like what they're doing here is they've got buy-in price points for pretty much everyone. $5, $12, $65, $300, and then a $1K for all you high rollers out there. And again, that's going to be an amazing live final. Somebody's going to become a fantasy football millionaire, and always an exciting time. And just a first-class event put on by FanDuel, so you can certainly check that out. Obviously, their Sunday Million Tournament is well happening with a $200,000 first-place prize and the $1 million NFL Sling TV Rush $5 buy-in with $100K going to first place. Pretty good first top-end payout. You know, I know a lot of people look at the $1 million first-place prizes. They're fun to chase a little bit, but in terms of ROI, you're going to get a lot better ROI in tournaments that aren't nearly so top-heavy more times than not. So FanDuel, good alternative for you here this week. Few things for us to get on today. Again, we're mostly going to talk injuries today on this podcast. I've got Josh Slatke. He is the gentleman who basically does our big injury update on Roto Grinders, and he does our DFS injury report, and he is a physician's assistant in Northwest Georgia, orthopedics and sports medicine, kind of been a team doctor, athletic trainer, physician's assistant for a long time, from high school to college all the way to the NFL level. So we're going to go through all the news and notes on the injury front because it's a huge week. And I think that, you know, this is going to be an interesting one to see how things break down. Some of the chalk is coming to light. We've obviously got a ton of shows and podcasts over the next 3 days that are going to be talking a lot about that. And obviously, as practices ramp up here Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we'll get a slightly better idea how maybe some of the breakdowns will happen, but we'll bring you that conversation here shortly. In terms of industry news for me to talk about today, not a ton for me to get on. The main thing that I do want to kind of talk about, maybe throw this idea out there, because I think I saw it on PlayDraft on the Draft app, which of course we do our show on Thursdays for. I love it. It's a whole lot of fun. If you're not trying that, haven't downloaded that, make sure you do it. Use promo code Grinders and get a great deposit bonus. But one thing that I definitely did notice is what they do on that app is in your head-to-head games, and I think it's even your tournament play as well, is that as soon as your games are complete, meaning that you have no PMR left, they have no PMR left, the sites actually pay out immediately, which is, I think, an interesting component and something that I think it would be pretty cool to see sites maybe adapt, because clearly what we've seen on the change with getting rid of the Monday games and the main slate is they want to allow people to churn their money in their account as fast as they can. I think it'd be great to, let's say we've got a Sunday main slate, or let's say we even have a Thursday through Monday head-to-head contest, but all of our guys by the 4 o'clock games are used on both of our ends. Maybe the site should just maybe pay out those games at that moment. You know, as soon as they're completed, they've got the official stats, 20 minutes after the games are over. Maybe that's when the time they should pay out some of these games. I don't think anybody would have a problem with it, because let's face it, if we are playing a Thursday-only contest, we're waiting all the way for Monday on a payout for a contest which we already kind of know the results to. Same could kind of be said. Now, it's not as big of a deal anymore with the main slate because it's all on Sunday. But, you know, if we have a head-to-head game, all of our guys are done by 4 o'clock, why not just, we know the outcome, why not just finalize the game at that moment? I think it'd be a nice little wrinkle. I think it'd be a nice way to kind of get more money in so people can continue to play, you know, the later slates. And the one thing we know, you know, the more slates there are for people to play, the more money the sites are going to make. I think it's a pretty interesting way to try and get more money back into the ecosystem faster. And I don't know too many people would be really against it, right? I mean, if the game is over, the game is over. If the results are in for our head-to-head, the results are in. Why not pay the games out? Now, the engineering as it stands right now, probably not set up for that, but I don't know how difficult of a change that would be. But I don't know if the suits still listen to this podcast. I know back in the day, the suits would listen to the podcast all the time. Maybe they still do. And if they do, there's a suggestion for you, and one that I think would be very beneficial to both the players and the sites. And when you can kind of make changes and have things out there that are beneficial to both ends, it's a win-win. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for more win-win situations, not just win for the sites raising rake or a win for the player, which I don't know. What's a win for the players? Overlay, there you go. That's a win for the players. You know, this is a win-win for all parties involved, so if somebody is a decision maker, maybe something for you to consider as we continue to kind of grow this industry more and more. Saw some interesting numbers from ESPN talking about week two, about how great the numbers were from week one to week two. And again, they did come from DraftKings. So, you know, it's not like they were audited or, you know, sourced out somewhere or confirmed. So you do have that. I mean, I think it would be pretty sleazy for a site to be putting out, you know, numbers that are not accurate. So I think they would probably just not put any numbers out rather than put out inaccurate numbers. I mean, I would think so. So I kind of trust them to that point. But saying that, you know, this week two is one of the biggest weeks that that they've ever seen. So again, I talked about it, you know, long before, many of times now, that the growth of the daily fantasy games during football season, it's a curve. It slowly but surely ramps up, and just wait until we get around to, you know, late October into November, and certainly right around Thanksgiving is just a monster time for the daily games, where season longs interest kind of wanes and they're looking for alternatives. That's really where, you know, a lot of the marketing dollars that they're putting in now, certainly they're acquiring customers, but the top of mind awareness and the branding that they build throughout the year, I think really pays off when people kind of get disenfranchised with their season-long leagues and kind of want that extra interest. So that's really where we see more and more ramp up. And every week that goes by, people lose more and more interest about their season-long leagues. And with injuries galore like we saw this past week, I'm sure it may happen sooner than we even expected. So there you go. Just a quick couple of thoughts for me on, you know, some DFS industry topics, because I know some of you enjoy that. Before we get to our interview with our injury expert, let's quickly tell you about my friends at Dollar Shave Club. Again, new sponsor here to the podcast. They went to the right place. The guy who shaves and shaves all over, not just my face, but my head. So I know a good razor. And DollarShaveClub.com, I'll tell you what, they're the answer to affordable shaving. And basically, we're going to give you an opportunity to get your first month free to join the Dollar Shave Club. It's amazing razors right at your door, a third of the price of those greedy razor corporations. And, you know, it's a pain in the butt. You know, you go there, they've basically got this case. I don't know. I guess razors are something that apparently are stolen a lot in drugstores, because a lot of times you go to the store and you need to bring somebody over to unlock the case to get your razors. Like, how ridiculous is that? Again, razors shouldn't cost that much, and I think that these razor companies, there's nice markup on razors. But just go to DollarShaveClub.com. All you can do is pick the razor that works for you. They've got some amazing blades. You've got some other things you can get on the side, include the Dr. Carver's shave butter. You might want to try the shave butter. I'll tell you what, it's good. I'm like Kramer, love shaving with butter. And you know what? It'll give you one of the smoothest shaves you've ever had. And I told you before, and I'm not making this up, I'm getting an extra day out of my shaves using Dollar Shave Club. So that's always good. You can look, smell, and shave like $1 million, but here's what you need to do. Join the 3 million members like me who love Dollar Shave Club by going to dollarshaveclub.com, and you can be confident in the quality of all their products. And we're going to allow you to get the first month free at the Dollar Shave Club. All you're doing is paying shipping. After that, just a couple of bucks a month. No long-term commitment. No hidden fees for you. There's no reason not to do it. So if you support the sponsors, we love it. It's dollarshaveclub.com. Use the /roto. That's R-O-T-O. dollarshaveclub.com /roto for that free month. All you're paying is shipping, and I think you'll really enjoy the razors. All right, let's get to our interview with Josh Latke, injury expert for us. So we look back to a terrible week two on the injury front, what it means for us in week three. It's coming up right now on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. All right, very pumped to bring on our next guest, and very necessary here as we move on to week three of the NFL season, because week two was literally a bloodbath when you look at the injury side of things. So rather than me try to give my kind of expert opinion, we're going to go out and go to somebody who knows a little bit more about this field than I do. If you haven't checked out his column that he started this season for us, it's just called the NFL DFS Injury Report. It's phenomenal. And we're joined by Joshua Slotke, who is joining us here today on the podcast. Josh, welcome to the show. Welcome to Roto Grinders. And how are you doing this this Wednesday?
I'm doing well, Dan. Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, and if people don't know, I put out the call on, I think it was the Throwdown show like 3-4 weeks ago and said, we're kind of on the lookout for somebody who knows a little bit about injuries, has a medical background, and could become the Kevin Roth of the DFS injury world. And Josh took me up on it, and I'm excited that you did, because I saw your first column, and I got to tell you what, you did a great job on it. But first, we need to know about you. Like, where is your what is your background? Like, tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been a little here and there. I went started school at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, where I grew up in North Carolina. I did athletic training there and worked with several different athletic teams, football, women's lacrosse, crew, a kind of a variety of sports there. I went and did graduate work and got my master's at the University of Georgia, where I worked with several teams there as well. I went on from there to go to Colorado. I worked in Vail for a year at the Stedman Hawkins Clinic, which is they're the team physicians for the Denver Broncos, and see a lot of international athletes, several EPL players while I was there, and serve as primarily knee and shoulder specialists, although they've expanded I was there. I worked with the team physician for Texas Tech for a few years and worked with their teams there, and then went on to PA school and have since been working in Northwest Georgia at orthopedic clinics, seeing patients of all types, athletes and non-athletes, but working particularly with a couple of the high school and smaller college teams here in Northwest Georgia.
All right. Well, you clearly know more about, injuries than I do. So we're going to jump into it. And by the way, I saw this on Twitter the other day. I don't know if you have to pay Kevin Roth royalties on the color coding, but you know what? He gave you the blessing the other day on Twitter. I did notice that.
I did not see that, and I'll have to dig for that. But I could not help myself but to take from the wizardry that is Kevin Roth, that's for sure.
All right, let's go into this week, because, again, we got so many injuries to kind of talk about. And the two quarterbacks that got banged up the most were Josh McCown and Jimmy Garoppolo. Looks like they both have kind of shoulder injuries. What's the kind of outlook on these guys, and what's your take off from that?
Well, I'd say initially it's fairly poor for both. Now, of course, the Patriots are notorious for keeping us all guessing when it comes to injuries, as you can see with how they've used Gronkowski and limited him during the first couple of weeks, but then held him out as inactive during the first 2 weeks. But Garoppolo's is on his throwing shoulder, which obviously is a little bit bigger of a deal. They're both suffered from AC separations, which is where the collarbone goes out to the shoulder and meets the point of the shoulder. Very painful injuries can be very debilitating, particularly for a throwing athlete, particularly a problem with football because you're going to get tackled and you're going to get tackled on your shoulder. So it's going to be a limiter for both, especially with New England coming around on a short week. They've said they're going to try to get him to play, him being Garoppolo. I don't see how he could play this week. I would be very surprised. But, of course, like I said, the Patriots are the Patriots. They're going to keep things close to the vest. From everything that I've read, McCown's injury seems to be more severe. So we grade AC separations from grades 1 through 6. Generally, grades 4 through 6 require surgery. Grade 3 is in the middle, sometimes needs surgery and sometimes doesn't. Grades 1 and 2 usually are a rest and rehabilitation problem. Everything I've read indicates that McCown's injury, though, even on his non-throwing shoulder, is a little bit more severe than Garoppolo's. I had originally seen that he was going to be out for a few weeks, and then I've seen some mixed reports about that. It looks like they're going to give Cody Kessler the ball and give him a look. They did sign Charlie Whitehurst yesterday. So I would be surprised if Whitehurst saw the field on such a, you know, on a short week coming on with the team, but I do expect McCown to be out for at least a few weeks.
Yeah. How crazy was it to see him go back in the game after that though? Like
he's a tough guy because, I can tell you from personal experience, I've separated my AC joint. It hurt a lot. So I think, the reputation that he has precedes what happened on Sunday, that he's a team guy. He's a tough guy. To play through an injury like that is pretty impressive. And even on the non-throwing shoulder, unfortunately, an injury like this, if he were to take another blow or get tackled on it, similar to what happened with Tony Romo a couple of years ago with the refractures of his collarbone, landing on this can make it significantly worse and actually could lengthen his time out of the game. So my suspicion is that they'll use some amount of care initially, especially considering McCown's injury was appeared to be a little bit more severe. However, with that said, AC separations are an injury that pretty well established. You can kind of put an injection into and get people through if the joint is stable and it's just a pain problem.
All right, let's get to running backs because this is the big one. This is where there is a handful of guys, and this is where I think from a DFS standpoint, there's going to be a good number of opportunities to maybe get some underpriced guys with opportunity. Let's start with the biggest name on the board. That's Adrian Peterson. What'd you think when you saw that hit, when you saw him come off the field, and where are we sitting with him right now? I think I saw him in crutches yesterday.
Well, I saw the same thing, especially after the game. He was in a knee immobilizer and on crutches. When I saw the injury on replay, I was a little surprised at his reaction. I mean, he looked like he got twisted, but you could slow-mo a lot of tackles in the NFL that looked very similar to that. Fortunately for him, it was on the other knee from the one that he injured a few years ago. The initial MRI looks like he's got a meniscus tear. Interesting thing about meniscus tears are that a lot of players will play through those. It's very individual as far as how much limitation there is from a functional standpoint. Obviously, for a running back, much bigger deal than it would be for a lineman. But a lot of the players that we hear about with off-season knee scopes, a lot of them are getting meniscus tears cleaned up that they played with through the year. I was a little discouraged to see how limited he looked after the game in the locker room. I think at this point, I've kind of got him listed as a red-orange initially. I don't foresee him practicing this week. I'd be very surprised if he played. I could see them using him as a decoy a little bit. But I just would be surprised if he would have the cutting ability, the explosion that he needs to perform. So at this point, I'd be surprised if he plays.
Yeah, and again, just full disclosure to everybody recording this on Wednesday morning. I know, is Wednesday practice usually like the first good indicator for you as somebody looking forward to seeing if people are going to play? Is that kind of an important time for your prognostication on that front?
It is. It's a little bit harder with veterans because teams are much quicker to hold them out on a Wednesday practice. obviously Friday practice is the key. People that practice on Friday have a much higher chance of playing on the weekend. But if someone has an injury in week two, and then the practice week of week three is out there at least limitedly on Wednesday, that does give a pretty a reasonable indicator that they're pushing toward playing for that weekend.
How about Doug Martin here? Hamstring strain. You know, this is a real good opportunity with Charles Sims backing him up to potentially get kind of main run here in that offense. He's a guy who's always, you know, catches the ball well and has shown signs. What do you think of Doug Martin this week? He seems like a true maybe week-to-week type of guy here.
So he actually had an MRI on his hamstring, which, you know, MRIs have advanced so much. They give such good detail of the soft tissues. But to be able to see some tearing in the muscle on an MRI indicates it's a pretty significant injury, and that's what I'm reading on him. I would expect him to miss at least a few weeks. I think Charles Sims is going to have the door opened for him to certainly take over while he's gone, but maybe land even a bigger impact. I think he's been a guy that I heard a lot in the offseason about possibly stepping into a bigger role. He already has the pass-catching responsibilities, and you know, I think that he's going to have an opportunity over the next 2 to 3 weeks at least while Martin's out to really establish himself in the lead running back role.
Okay, let's get to old man Arian Foster. Definitely another spot where we've got some potential opportunity. What's his status right now?
Well, he has a groin injury. Obviously, groin injury not a very good thing for anybody, but in particular a running back. I think we were all sort of waiting for Foster to get hurt this year, and it took all of about 2 weeks to do it. His looks to be in the mild to moderate stage. Again, I'll be very surprised if he plays. I've actually already listed him as red. I think that they'll hold him out and use some caution with him going forward. Soft tissue injuries are a difficult thing to gauge in general. But with a guy coming off the type of injury history that he has, I just can't see him bouncing back. He's an older running back. I think it's going to take him a couple of weeks to get back.
Yeah, that's an interesting opportunity, too, going against Cleveland there. Kenyon Drake, Jay Ajayi, you know, how those kind of carries are going to shake out, going to be interesting. We'll have to keep our eye on the practice kind of notes this week. Jonathan Stewart, another guy who's had a little bit of injury issue, you know, got hurt early in the game last week. We saw Fozzie Whitaker come in and go for over 100 yards. I'm not seeing much on him right now. Again, what's the latest with Stewart?
Well, he's pretty much been ruled out. They have him listed as doubtful for this week. I don't think he's going to play. The interesting situation there is they have Cameron Otters Payne, who they've had on the inactive list the first 2 weeks, pretty similar runner to Jonathan Stewart. And the things that I have kind of read indicate that they've kept him inactive because they didn't want to keep two roster slots of a similar type of player. I think there it gets really muddled. I don't know if Otters Payne will be able to step right in and be a 20 or 25 touch guy. I think they'll probably split things up, but as far as his play status, I don't think he's going to play this week. He'll probably be, again, one of those in the 2 to 3, maybe 4 weeks out type of picture.
I just heard this morning, Amir Abdullah, his left foot sprained so bad that they put him on IR. So that's a big deal. That means he's done.
Yeah. When you go to Charlotte and you see Robert Anderson, it's kind of like a baseball player going to see James Andrews. It's not a good thing. It usually indicates there's a pretty significant injury there. They listed initially as a foot sprain. Like all sprains, that can come in a variety of things. I have not seen specifically what they've diagnosed him with. But we're all familiar. We've seen several Liz Frank-type injuries in the midfoot in previous years. That was my suspicion of what he had. But when they said that he was flying to Charlotte, I knew that was bad news. He'd at least be out for an extended period of time, and now it looks like it's going to be even longer than they first thought. So definitely an open door for Theo Riddick to take more of the between the tackles running. Could even become a three down back, which we're all looking for as a DFS opportunity.
Yeah, and keep your eye on Dwayne Washington as well, another name that I think we're going to see a little bit more of. I'm a Jags fan, and I think I'm sick and tired of watching T.J. Yeldon not be good. So I need Chris Ivory to return. I've never, very rarely seen something like this in regards to such secrecy and silence around a medical issue like he's had. What's the latest with Ivory? Do you think he's going to play this week? And honestly, I think when he does play with, you know, Yeldon's ineffectiveness, he's probably going to get a lot of runs. So what do you think on Ivory?
This one's probably one of the toughest ones. I agree with you. I gave kudos to the Jacksonville Jaguars medical staff last week in my article because I honestly have not been able to find one thing. I've read everything from an appendicitis to an injury to the man parts that put him in the hospital. So as I mentioned before, I had some concerns that maybe that his calf injury was actually a blood clot. But I don't think that they would be eyeing to bring him back this quickly if he were to have blood clots. So it's likely one of those other things. Interesting play by him to ask for privacy and respect about his hospitalization, which kind of squashed a lot of the attention on why he was out or why he was hospitalized. He's one I'm really going to watch during the practice week. My gut instinct is because he hasn't practiced at all, that it'll be difficult to see him playing this week. But like you said, with Yeldon being so poor, I'm sure they're going to be pushing to get him back, especially to take over some of the goal line work.
Yeah, he's you're right. I mean, that's a good point. You know, he has done like zero practice. I mean, I'm sure if he goes this week, they'll probably work him in. But to think that he's probably going to get a full workload his first time out after, you know, missing the two previous, probably a bit of a reach. One guy who we're still waiting to return, we saw Spencer Ware obviously take advantage of the opportunity week one, not so hot week two, in a pretty tough matchup there versus Houston. Where are we with Jamal Charles? This ACL tear, he did practice pretty much throughout the preseason, didn't play in any games, was still limited a little bit, but are we going to see him make a return here fairly soon?
Well, interestingly, I was reading through the reports. Andy Reid actually told the media that Charles told him directly that he wasn't ready. He was on the scout team last week throughout practice, which is a pretty good indicator that he's not close to returning to the field. The practice work has been split between Ware and Charkandrick West. I think that they're going to continue to kind of have that game plan going in at least over the next couple of weeks. I think even if they do have him active, he'll be on a significant snap count. I can't imagine him going from scout team work to first team work that quickly. So when your head coach comes out and sells to the media that, you know, you directly said you're not ready to go, that's a pretty strong indicator that you're probably not ready to go yet.
One last running back, Thomas Rawls with a right leg contusion. What's that mean exactly? I mean, besides, he got kicked in the leg.
Yeah, contusion is a fancy word for bruise. I think he may have had a bruised ego with 7 rushes for negative 7 yards. To me, Christine Michaels looked like the better running back this year, and I don't know if that's directly because he's not all the way back from his ankle injury, or if Michael's just a more athletic, better player. Again, this is one I'll have to watch and practice a little bit and see what who's practicing with the first team and who's practicing with the second team. I think that he'll be back on the field. I don't think that there is a complication associated with his surgery. Hardware, if it gets hit, is very painful. So I think it'll be a pain-limiting type of problem where if he can maneuver and functionally perform, he'll be able to play. But this may be one of those wait-and-see types of things because I think it's going to be more of a coaching decision and less of an injury decision as far as who's getting the reps, who's getting the snap count, who's getting the touches.
All right, let's get some receivers here. And the one guy I know there's a lot of interest in is Dante Moncrief. This week, you know, he suffered, I think it was a concussion possibly last week. And I think that there's obviously major opportunity in that passing game for a guy like Philip Dorsett if Moncrief doesn't go. What's his status?
So Moncrief took a pretty good blow. He did have a concussion. He was in the protocol during the game. So they initiated that. The plan was to get an MRI Monday. As of last night, I did not see anything indicating reports. I know that they did say that he had some stinger type of symptoms where that comes from a blow to the head and shoulder, which stretches the nerves in the neck and sends numbness and tingling signals down the arm. The big question with those is a return to strength. Anytime you have a nerve injury, the question will be, is strength back to an acceptable range? Is he going to be able to reach and stretch for balls? Is he going to be able to get off jams off the line when the quarterback or the cornerback jams him? I don't expect, based on the early stuff that I've seen, that there's going to be a lot of structural damage to his shoulder, but it's nerve injuries are very difficult to assess because nerve tissue heals at its own rate. And sometimes it's quick and sometimes it's slow. But if he's not able to have full strength in his arm, I think he's going to be significantly limited, even if he is out there.
Let's talk about Doug Baldwin. You know, the Seattle offense has been pretty awful so far this season, and he played a pretty big part in their success a year ago. Looks like a little bit of a knee injury. What's the latest on him?
Well, I think Seattle as a whole is a little bit of a mess. We talked a little bit about Thomas Rawls. Russell Wilson's been dealing with a little bit of an ankle deal. Baldwin had what sounds like a knee contusion more than anything. His MRI came back clean. I expect that they'll rehab him hard this week. They may hold him out of practice today, but I expect him to progressively move through things through the week. I think he'll probably be out there playing on Sunday.
Brandon Marshall, I think most of us, when we kind of saw that hit last week on Thursday night, kind of held our breath a little bit. And ended up, it looks like, not being quite as bad as we all expected it to be. Thoughts on him as we move into week three?
So he's sort of a mixed bird as well. He came to the media and kind of said that he feels okay, but that he's not sure if he's going to be ready to go. He's a tough guy. He's, we kind of talked about Josh McCown. I mean, he's a guy that's going to be out there for the team. I expect that he'll play if he has to duct tape himself back together to be out there. So, but his knee looks like it's structurally sound. It's just going to be a matter if he can get off the ball, if he has the explosion that he needs to get downfield.
Last two guys I want to talk about, Julio Jones and Sammy Watkins, two guys who've kind of both been somewhat fragile as receivers, but also really effective when they're out there on the field for the most part. What are your thoughts on Julio and Watkins this week?
So with Julio, he looked a little limited. They both looked a little limited, to be honest. I looked at his snap count. He only was on the field for 77% of the snaps, which is fairly low for a wide receiver one. It was initially an ankle. Now it's a calf strain. As I said earlier, the soft tissue injuries are always tough, especially on guys that rely on, their explosion to perform. Julio was on the injury report almost every week last year and didn't miss a game. So I expect that he'll play. They may hold a little bit of snap count on him, but, he is the fuel for their offense. So I expect that he'll be out there and they'll have him out there on key plays and he'll still be a focus of the passing game. Sammy Watkins looks not very good to me. He's slow off the ball. His foot is clearly still bothering him. He only had 5 targets on Thursday night against the Patriots. Against the Jets. And, 2 catches for 20 yards. I just think that he's having a really hard time creating any separation. He's slow out of his breaks. I think this is something that's probably going to linger throughout the year. I just can't see that he's going to have a sufficient period of time where he's going to allow his foot to get all the way well. If he does have the chance, it's going to be this week where they're coming on a 10-day rest and maybe we'll see a different sign. As far as DFS play, Watkins is always tough because he's such an explosive guy. I mean, even with a bad foot, could he break one and go 3 catches, 120 and 2 touchdowns? He could. So he's always a tough one as far as play, but he definitely looks limited. His foot is definitely bothering him.
Lastly, let's talk about Gronk. First 2 weeks, didn't see the field. Again, we're talking about New England, so, it's about as poor of a, kind of description to the media regarding injuries that we're going to have in the league. What's your feelings on Gronk? Do you think they're just going to wait till Brady returns, or you know, do you think they're going to eventually work him in? What's the deal?
Well, I swung and missed both weeks, particularly last week. He's been practicing limitedly throughout the week, both of the regular season weeks, and then was inactive. He practiced on Friday of week one and didn't travel with the team, which was surprising. I thought they kind of were trying to mail it in against Arizona and then went out there and won. On the short week, my initial instinct was that he probably wouldn't play. They would hold him out this week and then allow the 10-day break and bring him back for week four. But in an interview yesterday, he indicated that he felt like he was going to be ready to go. So fortunately, this week with them playing on Thursday, if you're on the full slate, we'll have the inactive list for Thursday. So you certainly can plug him in if he's there. I don't think they'll return him till he's ready. And if he's on the field, he's always going to be a threat.
Yeah, no doubt. We will certainly keep our eyes out for the rest of the news this week. When does the column drop for us at Roto Grinders? When do you kind of start putting that out and giving updates?
I'm going to bring it out on Wednesday night late after I get the Wednesday injury reports. I'll update it on Friday after the game injury reports, which teams are required to release either at 4 o'clock their time or after their practice on Friday for a Sunday game. So I'll update things once the game injury report is released, which is a little different than the practice injury report. And then I'll update. I'm trying to get updates out in the inactive times, which are released usually an hour and a half before game time. So I'll put those all within the article, with built-in updates under the players that I've got listed for the week.
Are you on Twitter so we can bug you there for our questions?
I am. I am at SlackDog. It's SlackDogg. Some things you keep from college, I guess, or you make a name and don't think about it, and like a DB730, and so we make them and roll on. So SlackDog it is.
SlackDog it is. So you know what? No judging here by the DFS players. Maybe in the medical community they would frown upon SlackDog. But not here. We love it. We love
Very
it.
Good.
Well, Josh Slack, he is going to be doing injuries information for us here on Roto Grinders, and we'll definitely have him back on the podcast again to update us as the year goes on. Thank you so much, Josh, and looking forward to the column this week.
Thanks a lot for having me, Dan.
All right, much thanks to Josh for joining us here today, and that's going to do it for us on the podcast. Before we get out of here, a quick thanks to our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. They've supported this podcast for several months now, and if you have not thought about Rocket Mortgage and you're looking to get a mortgage or maybe refinance, well, guess what? Got to start thinking of them because they're a great sponsor and it's a fast, powerful, completely online process. And Rocket Mortgage has taken all those complicated, time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage out of the equation. So no more searching through old files and paperwork. Rocket Mortgage, you can easily share the bank statements and pay stubs that you need to at just a simple touch of a button, helping you get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's been tailored to your unique financial situation. Now, even better, Rocket Mortgage, you can do this all on your phone or tablet. It's a quick online process that you can manage just from the convenience of your couch. So if you're looking to refinance your mortgage, maybe buy a home, check out Rocket Mortgage today. It's quickenloans.com/roto. quickenloans.com/roto. Disclaimer, equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, and MLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030. We will return again tomorrow on the podcast. Same place, same time, same place. We'll get you ready for Thursday night football. If you've got any feedback about anything on this podcast, Roto Grinders related, you can find me on Twitter at Dan_Bach. You can find me on email at Dan@rotogrinders.com. Also, please subscribe to us on iTunes if you haven't done so. Some Android users are like, where can I get you? Try Stitcher, and they also have a new podcast app in Google Play, which should have the podcast stream. Just search Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, and you'll get this podcast and all of our shows as well, and some new exciting stuff as well coming up with our app regarding podcasts and whatnots. Can't wait for that. So little hint, hint, wink, wink. It's coming soon. It's going to be great. So all that and any, you know, and basically all the great content you need, follow us at Roto Grinders on Twitter. Tons of giveaways, lots of swag. And leave us a review. If you haven't left us a review, it helps. It moves us up the little order rankings or whatever. So we like being rated high. So if you like this show, give us a nice little review. We always appreciate that. I'm out of here for today. Talk to you tomorrow. Till then, enjoy all the wonderful programming tonight on Grinders Live. And we will see you.
Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to it on iTunes and Stitcher. And for up-to-the-minute DFS news, please follow us on Twitter at Roto Grinders.